Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with the Game Brass, and they are John Robert Matz and Robbie Duguay, trumpets. Danny Flam is the French hornist, Daniel Romberger, trombone, Alex Hill, tuba, and their incredible arranger, Thomas Kresge. It's really great to have a chance to talk with all of you. I'm so glad we could gather together to do this.
Thanks for having us.
This album is just so much fun, and I have to say, I really wasn't in much of a holiday mood until I started listening to it. And there's just something really magical about hearing all these songs that have to do with winter and snow and ice from games. It's just an incredible selection. And I guess maybe off the bat, maybe Robbie, you could say kind of how the album got started.
It's funny, actually. When we started out the band, we said that we would do one song every month. You know, all of us have jobs and lives and other projects going on, and we figured to be a group like this but still kind of always be moving forward, if we can agree to one track a month, that's great. Well, Thomas came along in August of this year and said to me, "Hey, do you want to do a whole album for Christmas?" And I almost immediately said no, because I know how much, you know, time goes into something like this. And so I brought it to the rest of the guys, and they gave a resounding yes.
So you got them down.
And here we are.
Well, it's such a great collection. And I have to say, I sort of lost track of how many songs there are in games that have to do with winter and cold and ice and snow. So was it a little bit tough to sort of whittle it down to just the 11 tracks that are on the album?
Well, I mean, from my side of things, I think I had a few favorites that we had a spreadsheet going, and I added sort of my favorites, and Thomas added his favorites, and everybody kind of had their own little bit of input. And then, you know, we started going to the internet and saying, what are the favorites on the top 10 lists out there? You know, what have we missed? What are the big ones that maybe, you know, weren't important to me? And through that sort of process of whittling it down and figuring out all the best favorites from all of us, that's sort of where we landed. I mean, Thomas, you can probably address it better than I could.
Yeah, I actually don't think it was that hard to pick them. Like the Game Brass already had a handful that were that they wanted arranged, so I kind of just decided to pick some of those first. And then there were a couple games that I was going to do anyway, and so those got added in, and I kind of just Googled around for some music that was specifically holiday themed as opposed to just like ice themed, and that kind of filled out the rest of it.
That's really cool. And what I love about it too is, you know, there are just so many songs that as you hear them, they just make you feel cold, like Wintervale from World of Warcraft. And I love with your arrangements, Thomas, you really kind of ramped that up with you know, jingly bells and chimes and everything. So as you were making the arrangements, was it difficult to keep the song true to the spirit of it, keep it what it, you know, sort of sounded like in the game, but also, you know, play up the qualities and the really special gifts of sound that these guys all have?
So some of them were harder to arrange than others. Probably the ones I actually cared more about, feel more pressure about. Some of them just kind of like, I didn't really know the music beforehand, so it was kind of easy to just run through it. I don't know, depending on the arrangement, but...
What were some of the ones that you really cared about that you kind of like struggled to get just the right sound for?
Two of my favorite games ever are Banjo-Kazooie and Mario 64. And those were actually the first two tracks I arranged. And I don't know, I think I just like, I always want to try and... Like, my approach to arranging music like this is to try and not just copy it over to new instruments, but to try and create, like, a new piece of music that works on its own. And, like, there's a bit of a struggle at first between, like, getting something I was happy with, but something that also, like, wouldn't alienate people who would expect to hear something when they hear it. And then also just the I haven't done a lot of small ensemble writing for like brass, so then that's a whole nother thing I had to worry about, is making sure it actually works well with the ensemble. So those first two were kind of meaningful, but also challenging.
But it wouldn't be fun if it wasn't a challenge, right? Actually, I was thinking about Reezy Peak, because what you were able to do with the arrangement and then what you guys were all able to do with your playing is, you know, I always have this feeling that Grant Kirkhope imagined you guys playing it when he was writing it, because it's just so perfect. It's really great. What I'm wondering about is, how do you all perform? Because you guys are in a few different locations, Toronto and near Chicago. And so how do you make arrangements to make the recordings?
Yeah, that's been our biggest challenge, I think, throughout this whole project. Thankfully, because all of us have a lot of experience with recording for different projects, we basically set up an arrangement, and then the person who's arranged it sets up a project, like a click track for it. And then everyone tries to match that as closely as they can, and then a whole lot of editing work starts.
Yeah, one of the real challenges with putting together an ensemble like this when we're all in different places is getting that unified sound. Like, the kind of thing that you get in an instantaneous, you know, way when you're in the same place, it has to kind of come in post and kind of be massaged in. Like, I think it's pretty fair to say we're all pretty excellent musicians, but you lose so much when you're recording by yourself. So a lot of editing ends up happening to kind of smooth over the rough edges, to unify articulations, et cetera, that sort of stuff. But it's, whenever we do get to play together live, it's a lot of fun. Like
where?
MAGFest 2019, I guess it would be.
Oh, sure. Yeah. At National Harbor in Maryland. So
that's the one.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So we're playing Friday night. So if anybody's hearing this podcast and is coming on the 4th, then yes, come hear us.
That's really awesome. I mean, the amount of music making that goes on at MAGFest, it just blows me away. And a lot of it is electronic and stuff. So to hear you guys with these incredible brass instruments, that's really going to be a thrill for people. That's really very cool.
Yeah, it's been really great. The sorry to sort of sidetrack here. We actually first all met at MAGFest. I mean, not 100% of us, but at the end of MAGFest 2 years ago, I had met Daniel Romberger, and randomly he offered to drive me to the airport. And I hadn't had a horn at MAGFest. I didn't play really anything at all at the conference, but he had been jamming on his trombone. So on the car ride on the way to the airport, I said to him, like, it's really cool that you play the trombone, and like, I used to play the trumpet. I wish we just had like a brass quintet or like a brass band of some kind. Like, what if we called it like the Game Brass? It's the actual conversation we had. Like, Daniel, like, you remember this, obviously. And lo and behold, you know, a number of months later, we actually formed the band. So.
Right, but how did you like get to me? I really don't know. I don't remember even how I'm suddenly part of this.
It's like, how did we end up with Danny? I don't know.
So yeah, that's right. So yeah, the first time we ever did a track by, you know, air quotes, the Game Brass, Marc Papagain from France played for us. And then he has so many things on the go. He decided to not, you know, join on full time. And so we were looking for a hornist, and you happened to be available.
Exactly.
Okay. And John, and like I want to know how everybody got here. That's the truth. Alex, you know, I have no clue how this all is like sort of happened. So yeah, it's just like, and we've been doing it. And then I never actually put any thought into like, so how the hell did we all like sort of do this amazing? Like, I have a green screen now because of this project. I have a permanent green screen in my studio. Yeah. I have like all these crazy setups that just for this. I mean, I have a banana outfit, you know.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes. You know, yeah. Like, it's been super fun. It's like one of the most fun things I've done like ever as a musician. It's.
Well, what I love about listening to all of you is the artistry. I mean, the musicianship is like just top notch. And you mentioned, or John Robert mentioned, that it's kind of an homage to the Canadian brass. And what I always loved about watching them perform is, you know, there's no question they're just, you know, incredible artists, but they have just such a wonderful affection for the music that they're playing. And it's a very unstuffy style. And that's kind of the feeling that I get listening to you guys play too. So it's really cool that you guys all found each other, because it sounds like you all have kind of the same attitude.
Definitely. And yeah, the Canadian Brass were absolutely one of the biggest inspirations for all of us joining this group. And another group like them, and I believe you're speaking with them this week as well, is Vidari String Quartet. We saw them play live at MAGFest 2 years ago and thought, oh, like, chamber music, video game music can be a thing. You know, why not be like the Canadian Brass? So that sort of marries it all together, which I thought was great.
Yeah, and what's so cool about the Canadian Brass, too, is they had no boundaries. They didn't put things in silos. I mean, they were just as happy to play a sparkly handle piece as they were George M. Cohan. And it sounds like you guys are kind of on the same page with that, too.
Thank you.
there were times when I was so sure that you guys had like all gotten together, because some of these pieces must have been really tricky in post-production or as you were recording the individual tracks to kind of get the timing right. Like Buried in Snow from Final Fantasy VII, there's a lot of like echo effect. And so was just having the click track enough for you all to kind of just know what your part, where your part fit?
It's never enough.
So yeah, it's never enough. When we kind of on the production side of things, like it's something that's been honed over a whole bunch of tracks, and a bunch of us have done stuff with Materia before, and Materia Collective albums tend to be very distributed recordings as well. Like it's a lot of people from all over the world collaborating to make one thing. So we've kind of refined our system. You know, we always start off with a click track and like a MIDI mockup that is as close to real as possible. And like when we're writing our own stuff, usually if we can do it, like the person who's arranging it, since frequently the arrangements come from within the ensemble, we'll try to record one of the parts ourselves, so we have like a taste of like the expressivity that you want to have. But the idea is to get as much of the as much of a version of it that you can hear while you're playing along as possible. And the more you can get of that, the more it kind of allows you to feed off of that and to kind of glom onto that sound to create a more cohesive, coherent ensemble. So as we go along, we'll like mix in people's parts, you know, so if Alex turns in a tuba part, we'll put that in and update files so that we get, you know, a more realistic representation of the ensemble, so that when, you know, Danny or Daniel goes in and records their part, they'll at least have a couple of voices to work with that aren't, you know, samples or
actually,
synths.
Actually, Robbie put together a really cool synth that's basically us.
Yeah, please talk about this, Robbie. Tell him about this.
Right. So the story he's alluding to, on this album, at one point Danny had a whole stretch of gigs and he couldn't record for, I think it was a week or two. And there was one or two tracks that were left on this album that, you know, they weren't recorded yet. So I had all these samples of the last 18 months of recordings of his, and I chopped them all up, one for every note, and actually made a sample synth called, what I call it, like Flambot or something. And so I subbed in Flambot for Danny for like a couple weeks while we were getting the arrangements together.
That's incredible.
It was kind of scary because at some point I couldn't actually tell which was actually Danny or which was Flambot.
Yeah, I'm playing it, but then I texted him. I'm like, is this me or is this? Do I need to re-record it? I'm not sure. Yeah, it sounds very much, but
Yeah, but the trills were dead giveaways.
Yeah, the overall effect is just amazing. And I can just imagine, Thomas, that the post-production, you just did an amazing job mixing everything because the balance is just so good. And how long did you have to get this finished so that it could be released?
I think most of it was mixed in about a week or two, and then another week after that to like edit things again. But the process is normally, I think most of the arrangements were done by September.
I think it was September 5th.
And then everybody kind of got their recordings in over the next month. To kind of help with the sound, I'll usually go in and there's some editing I could do to make sure that like people don't sound like they're in different rooms and stuff. And then put everyone together and do the mixing. And then Robbie actually handled the mastering at the end of it all.
Very cool because besides the U5, there are also, you know, there's percussion and a little bit of synth and then those wonderful little jingly sleigh bells and chimes and stuff. So who added all of that into the mix?
Those all I arranged in.
It is worth mentioning that we did have some guests, so Thomas.
Yeah, there were some guest players on it as well. One of the tracks had one of the arrangements that already existed a couple years ago, and I just trimmed it down for brass quintet, but it was originally for a full orchestra. And I was able to keep the same string recordings I used. So a pair of people who call themselves the Ethereal String Orchestra, they had recorded these live string parts, and that's in the Snowden track.
Thank you.
Late in the process, Danny Flam volunteered his drummer to record some live drums for two of the tracks as well, so that was helpful. And then we had a vocalist.
Yeah, so Gal Gershovsky is our drummer, and he's the drummer for Consoles, another video game band that I'm involved with, and he volunteered to do this, so we brought him in.
Yeah, really knocked it out of the park. Brought some extra life. You know, the drum set stuff is just the difference between like sampled drums and like really excellent like played stuff, it's brings so much more life and drive, you know, to that stuff. We also had a fantastic what was her name again?
Oh, she was Helen Planchet. She was amazing. Snowflakes Falling from Persona 4. Just, you can't have a Christmas album without a kind of a sad, sad song. And
in our memories it stays.
You got to have that beautiful ballad, you know, but between her and Gal and Andrew Stefan and Andrew Stern of Ethereal String Orchestra, just some really great guests, you know, and then some fake percussion, you know, but it all comes together really nicely.
Just one more thing about the arrangement.
Sure.
I don't think anybody appreciates how amazing of a job Thomas did on this album. Because I write arrangements occasionally and I like sit there and I toil for weeks on one arrangement. He came up with an album in like, oh, we need an album. I'm like, okay. I said, oh, okay, we're going to have an album. And then the next, like, suddenly he's like, okay, here are the arrangements. Like, wow. So he did really the mixing and all that technical stuff is like dwarfed into the work that went into the arrangements. So that's a big, big wow.
So yeah, really thankful for that.
Yeah.
Really helpful for encouraging you to just finish something.
A really great thing about Thomas's arrangements as well in general is that he does a great job of varying the parts and giving each of the five instruments a chance to shine, a chance to have their moment, and a chance to come out, not to mention all the guests too. A lot of the times in brass quintet arrangements, a lot of people will write it and then just give the trumpets the melody the whole time, but Thomas does a very great job of varying it up and allowing it to flow naturally.
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that as well. Like, I played for Thomas on a couple of other tracks from Materia albums, and he always writes very fun tuba parts, and, you know, lets me get a solo from time to time, jazz solo, all that kind of stuff, so it's always super exciting. So when I saw those parts, that, you know, that instantly sold me. I was like, yes.
Yeah, yes. And it's so even-handed. I mean, he spreads the wealth around between all five of you, which is just so amazing. And the other thing that I really appreciated is, you know, a lot of these cues when they were new and in the game were just like 30-second loops. And what he did, which is so cool, what you did, Thomas, is, yeah, you know, just creates pieces that have a beginning and a middle and an end. And it's just, it makes for a really fun listening experience because it's not repetitive at all. So that was great. Great job.
Bravo.
Loved the Iceman track from Mega Man because there wasn't a lot to go on with the original the way it was in Mega Man, and so to expand it to a brass ensemble, that's quite a feat. I mean, that was really cool. Well, among the five of you, what were some of your other favorite tracks to work on?
Yeah, that one's really tough to play on. Oh man, I mean, Iceman of course was a lot of fun to listen to. Snowflakes is just one of my favorites just overall. But as far as like alto playing, I mean, all the Mario Kart ones are super fun. Christmas Town, you know, there's a lot of variety in this, and that was
the fanfare from Mario Kart. It's like...
Oh, the worst. It's brutal.
It's so difficult and fantastic too, because like not only did it, you know, line up just with the game and how you would start every race in every Mario Kart game, but like also Robbie edited the and got everything together for the video, and it lined up just perfectly. It is so cool.
Thank you.
That's great. Yeah, I bet. John Robert, what about yours? Did you have a favorite, or did you?
There's a brutal piccolo trumpet solo in Iceman, which I like having done. Now that it's finished, I'm very happy with it. Is the highest thing in the world, and it is stupidly technically difficult. It's like, I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad it sounds really nice. I'm glad that I don't have to do it again. No. But no, that whole track is fantastic.
Not a chance.
Oh boy. I think honestly, like, one of my favorite tracks, I really like to listen to Snowflakes. I really enjoy Theme of Winters from Earthbound, track 2 on the album. Like, it's just, it has exactly the right amount of, like, holiday warmth, and kind of, it really channels that Canadian brass kind of quality to it. Like, it just flows very nicely. It's warm. I want to have hot chocolate and sit by a fire or something like that, and, like, just get like, I don't know. It just feels very nice. It's very welcoming. And it still does a lot of very neat technical things while still being gentle and having, like, this nice kind of arc to it. So again, it's fantastic. It's probably probably my favorite, even if it isn't as exciting as some of the others.
So where can people find the album? Because you know they're going to want to.
So Snowtopia, a video game holiday tribute, is available on Bandcamp, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and basically anywhere else you can find digital music. Just look for The Game Brass or Snowtopia.
I just really appreciate all you guys getting together to talk about Snowtopia, because it's just such a fun album. And despite your, you know, challenges and everything, the overall sound of it is just that you guys were just loving this music start to finish. So thank you all so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a real joy.